is going to share our Bible reading this morning. Come on, there we go. Like I said, me and Alison the other day made our first wills. And the idea is you go in and you can do a will for it's free, but the idea is that you try and support a charity one day through it as well. I guess what we were doing is securing in some ways our earthly things, our earthly treasures for the future. What will happen to them when we are no longer around. Now, I know what you're thinking, but you're only 40-ish. Isn't it a bit early to do this? Shouldn't say that for the pulpit, should I really? And I'm on YouTube. I guess it's true. I'm in no rush, but I guess it makes sense in some ways to make arrangements that when eventually the day of eventually comes. Our passage today comes from probably the greatest sermon of all time, from the Sermon on the Mount. And our focus is the part that's entitled in our Bibles, on your Bible app, it'll be called Treasures in Heaven. And what I want us to consider today is two storehouses. I want us to think about an earthly storehouse, and I want us to think about a heavenly storehouse. Two storehouses. So our first storehouse that I want to focus on is our earthly storehouse for our earthly treasures. It's where we might keep our earthly things. Now, I think often preachers will focus, I think, mainly on this storehouse. And of course, the passage tells us, Hazel read for us, not to store up treasures in this earthly storehouse. So what are these earthly treasures? Could they include, for example, the CD collection that Alison is trying to clear out of our house at the moment? We don't play CDs anymore, but we've got a lot, and they've all got memories attached to them. And for some reason, I was just trying to get rid of them. What might we put under the heading of earthly treasures? Well, I'm pretty certain if I was to go and ask you, probably answers would be things like money, possessions, perhaps our house or our car or our clothing, even our ambition or our health, or our relationships. Now, generally, there is nothing wrong with these things as such, are there really? But we are told in the passage by Jesus not to store them up. Now we might ask the question, then should it be, is it better for us to be poor? Matthew 19, verse 24, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. I think of, in some ways, the time I went to Uganda, and I know some of you have been to Uganda and other places around the world, and in many ways, one of the things that certainly I took back from that visit that I had the privilege of going out to through the charity Amana was in many ways the lack of material things that people owned, but yet the inner richness that many people had. I found that really challenging in many ways. They had so little from a point of view of material possessions, wealth that we would call wealth, but yet there was something, a deep richness in some people, which really challenged me. Now, I don't believe we have to be poor, though I do think that moderation and simplicity can be healthy things and can often help people find more contentment. It's not a general statement, I suppose it is a general statement, but I kind of believe there's some value in simplicity and kind of moderation. But I'm not sure we have to be poor by any means. I'm not saying that this morning. You know, in Luke 12, we find a story entitled The Rich Fool. And this rich fool, we're told, is a farmer and he has lots of crops. And as he's doing well with his crops, he thinks, ooh, loads of crops, let's store it up in my barn. But then the crops do even better, so then he's got to build a bigger barn to store up more crops. And this idea that he's just storing up and storing up and storing up. With the idea, I think, the plan is that one day, he will be able to lay back and just enjoy it all. But in verses 20 to 21, God's word says this, "But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God." And I guess that whole parable plays in some ways as a warning to us. Firstly, regarding, I think, how tightly we hold on to our earthly treasures. As we know that, as the Bible says, that they can be easily destroyed or stolen, the things of this world are very vulnerable. I remember when we first launched our food bank, our Fair Share food bank, one of the first person who came in, probably week one, it could have been week two, and I remember this guy coming in very shy, a bit kind of gingerly. We just opened the food bank and he sat down and we gave him a food parcel. We had a chance to have a little chat. We remember having a little chat with him. And he just started to tell me his story. And he had a really good job. Things were going so well for him. He was enjoying, in many ways, many of the luxuries of life. But then he started to tell how his story unraveled and how he lost his job and how he lost his family in many ways. And things just spiraled down and down and down as the kind of the things of this world were sort of taken away from him. And he found himself in this food bank with us, and he was embarrassed. He didn't really want to be there, but his story was real. As the things of the world, for him, had been taken away. It challenges us, doesn't it, this passage, this story of this rich fool, about what we build our lives on. The things of this world, or the rock of God's faithfulness and love. I think it also, this story, plays as a warning of how we view the material things of this world. What we want, what we desire, what we strive after. Again, in our Bible reading today, it talked about our eyes and our heart. It says that our eyes are the lamp of our bodies, and where our treasure is where our heart is. You know, I think often one of the biggest verses in the Bible that people mix up and get wrong is 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. They think it says this, "For money is the root of all evil." It doesn't say that, does it? It says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." Again, it challenges our attitudes towards earthly treasures, that we need to guard our heart against things like greed and jealousy and coveting. I think it's important to think about, as God's people, what are our priorities? What are is our purpose? What drives us? What do we strive for in this world? I also think that we need to be careful, when I think about this whole thing about earthly treasures, I think we need to be careful around idolatry. Again, the story in the Bible about the rich man who comes to Jesus and says, "What must I do to follow you, to inherit heaven?" And Jesus says, "Well, you just have to obey the commandments." And love the Lord your God with all your heart, love your neighbour as yourself. And the guy's like, I obey all these commandments. I'm in. Jesus says, "Absolutely great, fantastic. Just all you've got to do now, just go away, sell what you've got, come and follow me." And the guy's like, "Oh, hang on a minute, I've got quite a lot here." And he struggles in that moment, and we're told that in the end he walks away from Jesus, and we're told that Jesus doesn't chase after him. He lets him walk away. Verse 24 in the reading that Hazel read said this, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Bless you. The final thought around the earthly storehouse, and like I say, I'm going to talk about two storehouses, is what we do with what we have. Our responsibility, I suppose. If you read this passage in Matthew that was read, I noticed a few words earlier, Jesus talks about giving to the poor. You know, so actually just before those bit about storing treasures up on earth and all that kind of thing, Jesus talks about giving to the poor. And I think there's this whole question about responsibility, what we have. I wonder how many people often complain about people who are very rich. I wonder how many people say, "Oh, them footballers, they get thousands of pounds. They're on Marcus Rashford, he's trying to get £500,000 a week and all that kind of stuff." And there's a real complaint and groan and grumble around what they're getting. The reality is in many ways that we are all rich, actually, compared to so many in this world. Simply for the fact of where we were born. And because we're born here, we have running water and a toilet to flush and a place to go if we're not well. And we're very rich compared to many of us in this world. But the bottom line, I think, is in the end that we are all responsible for what we do with what we have been given. I don't know what, you know, whatever those footballers have got, and they've been offered that, so they, you know, that's their job, whatever. The responsibility is what they do with it, and that's not my responsibility, that's their responsibility between them and in the end God. My responsibility is what I've been given, and I've been given a lot, what I do with what I've been given. So we're all responsible for whatever we've been given, whether we're a wealthy footballer or a poor church pastor. get the violin out. So we have to think around issues around this earthly treasures, this earthly storehouse that we're called not to store in. And what that means for us, what that teaches us as followers of Jesus. But the second storehouse is where we talk about heavenly treasures. Now, I think this gets a little bit more interesting for me. Well, it has done this week as I've looked into it a bit. I've been kind of challenged a little bit more around this. In the Sermon on the Mount, we're encouraged by Jesus to store treasures in heaven. Now, I don't think this second storehouse is one that we talk about as much. And I wonder partly because it's not as easy in some ways to get our heads round. What are the treasures of heaven that we are encouraged to store? Firstly, we're told that they can't be destroyed. We're told that in the reading. It's also, if you look at 1 Peter 1, verse 4, it says, "And in you will get into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. The inheritance is kept in heaven for you." So we're told initially that the treasures of heaven that we're meant to store up can't be destroyed. Moths will not get in, they won't rust away. So the treasures of heaven, we're no longer talking then about things like our houses, are we? We're no longer talking about our possessions because we know they come under the other side. Treasures, earthly treasures. So when I looked into this a little bit more, it seemed that these heavenly treasures are more about things like godly deeds. About when we share our faith. I think it's when we stand for justice in this world. I think it's when we show compassion to people around us. When we are prepared to forgive and release forgiveness. I think heavenly treasures are when we make those holiness choices in our lives, choices that are in line with God, what God wants for us, rather than go down a sinful choice. I think heavenly treasures are when we're prepared to go the extra mile to serve and to help somebody. I think heavenly treasures are when we show love or when we're prepared to live in some ways sacrificially for the goodness of others. I think holy treasures for me is about faithfulness. It's about looking after the poor. It's about self-discipline. It's about perseverance through trials. These to me are the treasures of the kingdom of heaven, and there's others. It's as if I think when we do, or when we be these things in the world, we are investing in heaven's eternal storehouses. Now, I think it's really important to say that we don't or we can't buy our way into heaven. Let's just make that really clear. See, some religions do believe in that. They believe it's all about works. They believe that actually how good they are on earth means that actually that's they reach a threshold of heaven, I suppose. We don't believe that as God's people, as Christians here. I don't believe that you can buy your way into heaven by just doing nice things or being a certain way, even coming to church every day of your life. It's not about that for us. We're not about works. We're about faith. For me and for you, we're about a dependency on grace. Grace is God's undeserved favour. So I just want to make that really clear for people to go home and say, David says I can get into heaven by doing good works. No, we're dependent on grace. We're dependent on Jesus. But I do believe that there are heavenly rewards. Now, again, I don't think there is a currency in heaven. I don't think, you know, like sometimes when we go to the seaside, one of our, or I'd say particularly Emma's favourite activities is she likes to go on the 2p machines, you know, where the pusher ones, when you put a 2p in and get, I don't know, gamblers we are, dreadful, but we give a certain amount of money. And, you know, you get these 2p's and it drops it in and it pushes it down to the next one, it pushes it down. And she likes winning the toys, if there's any toys on the edge, you know, she tries to go for the toys or whatever. But what seems to have happened over particularly the last number of years now is that not only do you get these extra 10p's and you put them back in again or you try and win a toy or whatever on the edge, but you get tickets. So you get tickets that come out of the machine. And you know, so what you do is that you kind of end up spending 20 quid on 2p's, right? And, not quite that much. You end up getting a lot of these 2p's, and they all come out of the machine, and you end up getting as many as you can. So you spent a tenner get on for an hour playing these machines. All these tickets have come out. You've ended up with 1,000 tickets, and then what you do is you go to this shop, and by the end of it, you end up with 5 penny chews and a bouncy ball. It's all good fun. I don't believe that when we do a good work on earth, we get another ticket, and then when we give to the poor, we get a ticket. When we give to the offering, we get a ticket. When we serve in some ways, we get a ticket. And we're not collecting tickets here. There's not a currency in heaven, I don't think. But I do believe that there are rewards in heaven. Now, again, I think it's really important that people hear that heaven will be wonderful for all. All who are there receive eternal life. Will receive an overflow of God's peace and joy and freedom and wholeness and love that we cannot at this moment imagine. What time is it? I don't think it is. Is that stopped? Is it? Thank you. I thought so. I keep looking at that clock thinking it's not changed. If I've got another hour then, thankfully. Just seems like half one. Let's face it. I think, for those who could get into heaven, and heaven is dependent on the grace of God, well, those who were there, it will be, well, I can't imagine, but I just imagine it to be beautiful and wonderful. You know, to just be in that eternal place, the overflow of God's love and wholeness. But here's something that really challenged me when I was looking at preparing my sermon. And here's a quote that I want to quote from somebody else. It said this: not all will receive the same in heaven. No. Not all Christians will receive the same in heaven. While all people are of equal worth, they will have different gifts, talents, and levels of holiness and happiness. God promises to reward people in heaven based on their faithfulness and obedience in life. That challenges me a little bit. What does that mean? Does that mean some get a bigger house? Some get a garden and some get a balcony and some get, I don't know. Does it mean that some get the best seat in the worship stadium? And we know where the best seats will be, obviously right at the back, because that's church, isn't it? We're upside down to the world, it's that upside down kingdom. Go to the theatre, the best seats are on the front. That's not church. So I'll be on the back row. In the stadium of God's worship in heaven. Will we get some sort of priority in the queue to the banquet table? I don't know. Oh, off again. The bottom line for us all is that we just need to get there. And you know what? For me, I just want to be there. Bottom line. You know, I just want to be there, don't I? I, you know, my prize is everything. I just want to be in heaven. And I believe we can have a blessed assurance about that. That's not out of arrogance or ignorance. That's about I'm claiming what I've accepted. So there's a sense that, you know, I just want to be there and I want as many people to be there as possible. But I'm interested about these rewards of heaven and what that might mean, and I've started to look into it a bit more, and I need to look into it a bit more because it challenges me. And one of the things I was reading about was these heavenly crowns that God will reward. I don't know if I've ever preached on heavenly crowns before. But the Bible suggests that in heaven there will be these rewards. And one part of these rewards will be these heavenly crowns given out. Five. Some people say there's seven. Some people say five. Firstly, we have the crown of life. And they suggest, and I've got Bible references across these that I could give out at different, if anybody's interested. But the crown of life suggests it will be given to those who have maintained their faith, their love for Christ through persecution, through suffering, through trials, and through temptation. So it's a specific crown of glory, a crown of life, that God will set aside for those who have been in that position. Talks about, too, the crown of glory. And the crown of glory, the suggestion is it will be given to those who have been humble, willing and honest, sacrificially in their service to God and to others. It's a crown of service in many ways. And those who have served diligently and faithfully in the kingdom's purposes, they will be given a crown of glory. And then there's the crown of victory, or some call it the incorruptible crown, given to those who have lived in self-discipline, who have mainly focused on those things of an eternal value. Those that have really lived within the ways of God, disciplined themselves to live and look to heaven as their prize, will receive this crown of victory. Then we have the crown of rejoicing, or the soul winner's crown. The Bible says, given to those who have reached out beyond themselves to lead others to heaven. Those that have gone that mile to bring others into the kingdom of heaven, it says, they will be given a crown of rejoicing. Because heaven will be full of rejoicing in that way. And then we have the crown of righteousness, promised to those who have lived faithfully in anticipation of Christ's return, those who have fought the good fight, finished the race, and kept the faith. I need to look into this a bit more. Because I'm thinking, am I going to get a crown? Which one would I get? Not sure that's how I should be thinking. Bottom line, I'm most happy if I'm getting in. That's it. Thank you, Jesus, that I can spend eternity with you. But it's interesting that it's how we look at this idea of storing our treasures up, not on earth, but in heaven. Where our focus is, where our priorities lie, where we're heading. I think there's a challenge. You know, our earthly time is short compared to what we will be given in eternity. There are these two storehouses that we can focus on putting our treasures in, our earthly storehouse or our heavenly storehouse. And the question has to be, certainly for me, which storehouse am I investing most into? Where am I investing most of the treasures and what the treasures I have? I think being in heaven for me, the key is always about accepting Jesus, who he is, what he's done, and then receiving his forgiveness, his love, and his grace. And if you've not done that in this place today, that invitation is for all. To accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That he died for you on a cross because he's the Son of God, perfect, He died, he took on your sin and my sin, and he died for us. That cleansing, we're going to celebrate that in communion in a minute. To receive then the forgiveness offered through that and the life eternal through that. Have you done that? I hope so. But you know what too? There are many of us who have just that sense of there are rewards in heaven. Crowns will be given out. You know, I think we'll all have a ball who are there. It'll be amazing. Just to be in the presence of God and Jesus in that space of no suffering and pain and come on, I just want to be there. But I think we can also store up treasures in heaven. You know, I started my talk by saying that we made a will. Me and Alison made our first wills the other day. It's about what we will leave and pass on, I think, financially. Perhaps the bigger question should be more about what heavenly treasures will I leave? Will I pass on to the people that I have known on earth? Maybe that's more where the value really has to come. Food for thought, food for consideration, challenges, but I hope encouragement as well. Let me pray. Lord God, we just take a moment to think around the teaching of Jesus on the Sermon of the Mount, about where we store our treasures. And these pictures of these two storehouses, an earthly storehouse and a heavenly storehouse. And how we're the focus is, of Jesus in those words is not to store up treasures in our earthly storehouse, but to focus on storing treasures in heaven. What does that mean for us? What does that mean for us in an earthly way? I don't think it means giving all our money away. I don't think it means being making ourselves poor from a materialistic point of view. But I think it does challenge how we look at some of our what we strive for, what we have, where we place the material things of this world in our lives. Pray you'll speak to us, Lord, about that, not to condemn us, but again to encourage us. But then also to think about this. I was told to keep an eye on heaven because that is our eternal home. For those that have accepted Jesus, and we just thank you that for those of us that have accepted Jesus, the promise is always that we will one day be with him forever in that heavenly place. Well, I pray that we would store treasures up in heaven now, not so we've got a bigger bank account in heaven, but just because we want to. We want to share our faith. We want to serve people. We want to love people. You know, we're happy. We will go that extra mile for Jesus. We will, whatever it is, serve him in this world. We will store up treasures in heaven. And then when we get there, Lord, what will be, will be. But I know it will be special. So, Lord, we pray that, Lord, these words that I've shared today, Lord, you would speak and make them clear to us. Help us to understand more of your will for our lives as we try and follow you as your people. Amen. We're going to sing. We're going to sing Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart.